am your host, Emily Cobb.
And today I'm joined by Harriet Connor, author of Big Picture Parents. Hi, Harriet.
Hi.
How are you going?
Yeah, well, thank you.
I should give the full title, Big Picture Parents, Ancient Wisdom for Modern Life. What a book. It's been quite a year for you. It has been shortlisted for Australian Book of the Year.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about the journey with the book so far?
Yeah, it's I've never written a book before, never thought I'd write a book. So it's all been one big learning curve. But it's been great. Just connecting with new people, learning new skills, and trying to get the message out there as best as I can.
How about we go back and hear a little bit about you and get to know you before we launch into hearing about the book. So can you tell us a little bit about who you are?
Sure. I'm a Sydney girl originally. I grew up in Sydney, went to school and uni in Sydney, and I ended up studying theology at Sydney Missionary Bible College. That's where I met my husband, who's a coastie. He's from the Central Coast of New South Wales, and that's where we've ended up now. So we live on the coast. My husband is the senior state chaplain with the New South Wales Police Force, and we have three sons who are now 8, 5 going on 6, and an almost 3-year-old.
Busy time.
It is.
Yeah. And how did you come to know Jesus?
I grew up in a family that wasn't a Christian family. We didn't go to church regularly or talk about God at home. But I just somehow had this sense of God being there like a father in heaven watching over me. And I guess I slowly filled in the picture of who Jesus is and why I needed him. And it was really through SRE in primary school, scripture lessons, and later as I got older through holiday camps that were run by what's now called Youth Works. And that those two things really helped me to fill in or to read the Bible and fill in about who God really is and why he sent Jesus to die for us on the cross. And eventually, a friend of mine from school invited me to youth group and church. And so as I got older, I started going along to a local youth group and then church. And, kept going there till I got married.
Wow. And how were your parents about this interest that you had? And, you know, were they supportive of these camps that you were heading off to? And
well, they sent me to begin with.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. My mum used to go on the same kind of camps. And I guess perhaps they didn't expect me to take the Christianity side of things too seriously. Maybe they hoped it was a phase, but I think they know by now it's not a phase. They're very, I guess, their top value is tolerance. And I suppose they show that to me in our differing beliefs, and we have a respectful relationship. So perhaps it's a bit disappointing for them, or puzzling, or surprising. But we have a way of making it work.
And what did life look like before parenting for you?
Well, just after we got married, we moved up to the Central Coast, and we were both working on staff at a church, King Cumber Anglican Church. So it was a busy life of teaching the Bible in different ways, and I did a lot of work with children. We were doing kids clubs and children's talks and scripture teaching in primary school, so I had a lot of children around in my life, and I felt quite confident, and I enjoyed working with children, and I thought I was pretty good at it, really. But that all changed as soon as I became a parent.
Doesn't it? So how did you start to get this interest in parenting and the Bible and the big picture of parenting?
Yeah, I guess mainly out of desperation. I felt like I'd spent 3 years studying the Bible at Bible College, and I'd worked a lot with children, but as soon as they're your own children, I felt a bit lost, really. I grew up in a family that wasn't Christian, as I said, and so I thought, well, we want our family to be a Christian family, so how will I be any different to the next person in the way that we are raising our children? So it was really just a personal, a burning question that I had to answer for myself. I just wanted to know, what does the Bible have to say to me right now? And it really started as a prayer. You can even see my prayer diary from that day, and I was just crying out to God in desperation for some guidance. We had a newborn and a toddler, which I think is a deadly combination. And so I just was asking God for guidance, and I just started at the beginning. I turned to Genesis 1, and in my prayer I'm sort of reading the Bible and reflecting on things, and I just kept going until I got to Revelation about a year later.
Wow. And you say that big picture parents came about as sort of an extension of this desperation for yourself?
Mm. Yeah, well, I just needed to know what does it mean to be a Christian parent, and how will someone who knows God and lives for God do this parenting thing differently to the next person? I wanted to know, how does our view of the world, our Christian view of the world, impact the way we approach parenting?
I think as I talk to different mothers and, we have discussions with parents, it seems to be that there's this common idea that aside from verses like, you know, the really famous ones like train up a child in the way they should go, Proverbs, that the Bible doesn't have a lot to say about parenting. How accurate do you think that is?
Yeah, I think it's a common misconception that I had as well. I was talking about worldview before, and it's really about just zooming out a bit further than individual verses and trying to think about what are the underlying beliefs that we have which filter down to our parenting. And I think a lot of modern parenting trends and advice and a lot of the articles that you can read, they stem from a particular view of humanity or view of our role as parents or a view of what is a whole and healthy person. And we often don't stop to ask about those underlying beliefs. What is the purpose of life? Surely if we have a different answer to that question, we'll have a different approach to raising children to share that purpose for life. So I guess I wanted to step back and think about those big ideas, the big truths of the Bible, and what that had to say about parenting. So I started in Genesis and looked at chapters 1 to 2 about the purpose that we were made for and how does that shape our parenting. And then when you move on to Genesis 3, the fall of humanity, that we're no longer in the Garden of Eden, how does that shape our parenting? And we have the first parenting fail with Cain and Abel, Adam and Eve's first sons, and you see their relationship and what happened there, that in the end Cain got jealous and in an angry rage killed his brother. And it must have been very clear to Adam and Eve at that point that we are not in Eden anymore. I can only imagine their pain and their grief for both of their sons. And so I looked at that. How does the fallenness of humanity and our world impact our parenting? And then I looked at, the Old Testament law. What does that expect of children? Does it expect the same thing of children and adults? And what does it expect of parents? And another big theme I came across was, of course, God as father. And what kind of father is God? And how does that impact our view of what it means to be a parent? And then, of course, looking at Jesus and his teaching about children, his teaching about family, and how does that put our little family into perspective? And then finally, the Bible's vision for the new heavens and the new earth, and how does that end vision that all of history is moving towards, how does that shape our attitude to parenting? So I guess it was really going beyond the verse that's specifically directed at parents, telling them what to do or what not to do, to see the whole vision that the Bible has for families now and into eternity, and how does that vision, that ideal, shape what we work towards now in the here and now, the everyday little decisions?
Isn't it? It's so encouraging hearing you talk and just thinking, like, way back at the fall, you know, God had told them to be fruitful and multiply, and so families are a key part of his vision for this world. And it's not without hope, I guess. And so tracing it through, like, we call it biblical theology.
Yes.
You know, it's this overarching picture. And so why is that important for us in parenting, but in any topic, to be looking at the Bible as kind of this, getting this whole
storyline? Yeah, I mean, they sort of the stages of salvation history. And you look at basically the stages I just listed out, and it's about coming at a topic and seeing it through each one of those lenses. And I guess for me that was important, because otherwise I think when you read the Bible, you're sort of reading it in a flat kind of way, that one verse here is exactly as – it's got exactly the same weight as a verse over here. And I think it's important when we look at a verse to step back and see the context for that verse. And was this a verse that was spoken to Israel in exile? Was this a verse that was spoken before the law was given? Or is this a verse that is before the fall occurred? So it sort of helps us to understand which stage of salvation that particular verse is speaking into. It magnifies the beauty of the Bible as well, that we can just see God has always had a story and he's always been working towards something, and we're not just in the here and now, we're actually part of a big story that God started at the beginning and he's going to finish for eternity. And so to locate ourselves on that timeline really helps to have a sense of where we are and who we are. And knowing that we are this side of Jesus obviously changes the way we read the Old Testament and the whole Bible, because we see that all things meet their fulfillment in Jesus and his death on the cross for us. So I feel like it's a bit of a garbled way of explaining things. But I think just it's really important to take into consideration our place in God's big storyline of history.
And it really debunks this idea that I think we often have, and it's almost an excuse when we say, well, the Bible wasn't written in current culture, so it doesn't speak precisely to my situation now. And yet when you step back and you have this overarching view, you see who God is and how his principles last over generations and time, and how they remain true, and how they remain relevant and timeless in a way. Yeah. And so that we can, you know, take on and we can find, I think, real relief in the fact that God has spoken to us, and we can, you know, really treasure what he has said, and it is applicable.
Yeah,
is
I that remember. How you felt? I mean, I'll give one example. I clearly remember being really distraught. I think our elder son was about 3 and having lots of tantrums and meltdowns, and I was desperate to know what to do. And of course, the internet didn't help, because it's just full of so many conflicting ideas. And I this doesn't often happen to me, but on this occasion I felt strongly compelled to open the Bible to the book of James. I'm not sure why, but I feel that I felt really compelled, and I guess we'd have to call it the Holy Spirit was urging me to open the book of James. And I opened up and I read and I read and I read, and as I read, I really sensed that God was giving me answers to my parenting dilemmas, and obviously not in a super specific way, but he was helping me, as you said, to remember the big principles. And I found them to be incredibly relevant to my little everyday situations of managing a toddler. And that was just one example where like, oh, we do need to remind ourselves of the principles. And I think when it comes to parenting, I think there is a lot of freedom. I feel like having read the whole Bible and thought hard about this, the Bible lays out kind of the fence, the main building blocks, the non-negotiables about our approach to being parents. But within that fence, I think there is a lot of room to move, that one family might conclude that, there's lots of different hot topics, I suppose. And I think there is room for freedom as long as we stay within the big sort of non-negotiables of, well, what are we aiming for here? What are our key values that we're seeking to pass on to our children? And, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And it really allows for diversity in personality, and, you know, you see some homes that are very organized and some homes that are a whole lot less organized.
Mm.
And yet in all of that, God gives this overarching view of what our families should be looking like in terms of, you actually phrase it in your book in four parts: our big purpose, our big problem, our big values, and our big family.
Mm.
Which I think is a great, like, it was just really clear as you read the book and just saw these clear ideas. And so it takes this big view of the Bible, but it makes it in, like, I guess, manageable portions, really.
Mm, yeah.
So with this, how does our purpose as parents come into parenting? So what is, like, our purpose, and how does that apply to our parenting?
Yeah, well, I think I tried to think, well, what does our modern world around us see the purpose of life as? And I think often people think the purpose of life is to find happiness. And if you think that's the purpose of life, well, that's going to affect the way you raise your children and the priorities you have. And so I think, in contrast to that, the Bible sees our purpose as humanity as to honour him, honour our maker, and we do that by living well in the creation that he's put us in and by loving other people. So that is the big purpose of being a human. And so the Bible's quite clear that children, no matter how young they are, they share that purpose. And so parenting is about helping our children to understand their purpose and helping them to live out that purpose. And I think the Bible also gets a little more specific with parents. We have a particular role with our own children, and that is to help them to reach physical maturity and to help them reach spiritual or moral maturity. And there's other elements to our purpose as well, that our purpose, part of our purpose, is to protect our children because we are bigger and stronger. So there is an element where it's right and helpful to protect our children and keep them safe and provide them with the basics of life. And parenting is also the other big building block, I guess, is passing on our values, that childhood is like an apprenticeship in your parents' values, and we have the primary responsibility. Obviously, other adults are in their lives as well, but we have the primary responsibility to pass those values on to them, and the values tie into our purpose. Our purpose sets the vision, the goal, and our values kind of flesh that out. What are the things that we think are most important in life?
I actually heard on one of the Gospel Coalition videos on parenting, Mary Moeller talking, and she was saying that just like what you said, you know, that our role as parents is to impart our values and our knowledge of who God is, and that then the Holy Spirit enacts that, so that we don't have, I guess, we don't have the burden of our children becoming Christians. Is that what you would say?
Yeah, I mean, in the end, they will make their choice. We can't make our children do anything, really. At the end of the day, how they respond to our parenting is up to them. So we just have to be faithful and do our best and trust God for the rest, I suppose, that yeah, we can't guarantee the outcome of our parenting. But if we set our course and set our values and our priorities, then that's the best we can do. And we pray and we hope that our children will take them on. But in the Bible, that was one thing I found really interesting, just observing the different families in the Bible. And you've got families where the children do take on their parents' values, and then you've got families where the children go the opposite way. So the Bible's quite honest about the fact that children don't always take on their parents' values. Sometimes the parents were ungodly and the children were godly. So that can work for good as well as for bad. So an interesting study that I read while preparing the book was done in the US recently, and it was a survey of young people, and they asked the young people to rank what was most important to them. And about 80% of the young people surveyed said that they valued their own happiness and success above helping other people. Okay, maybe that's understandable, except for the fact that their parents believed the opposite. So at some point, the children have not picked up on what the parents think is the most important thing about life. And this study had a very interesting name, actually. It was called The Children We Mean to Raise. So it's one thing to have in our mind the things we think we value, but what the study showed is that perhaps the biggest problem was that there was a disconnect between what the parents said were their values and how they lived out their daily life. So that's a good question to ask yourself. What if I asked my children what they thought was most important to me, what would they say? And it was very convicting to me to ask that question, because I think sometimes they'd probably say, oh, she values peace and quiet and a tidy house. So it's a good diagnostic question just to remember, what are our daily choices and comments and decisions saying about what is really most important to us? And it's very confronting, but it's a good question to ask on a regular basis, just to check that we are putting into practice the things we think we value most.
And do you think there needs to be real intentionality in the way that we set about parenting?
Yeah, I think more and more. I think probably a couple of generations ago, the culture around us was probably more characterized by a Christian worldview. And so you probably could rely a little bit more on the people around you sharing the same values and having the same approach to parenting. But I just think more and more our society is becoming more multicultural, and it's becoming less Christian in general. And so I think we're going to have to become more and more intentional as time goes on, as we become more and more of a minority. And the things we do are going to be really weird, and people will find them strange or even wrong. And so certainly we're going to have to keep talking to each other, keep talking to our husbands or our wives, and keep trying to nut out what's most important to us here and how we're going to do that on a daily basis.
Now, your book isn't a set of rules to go by, which is great because it's different and, you know, it really gives these timeless principles from the Bible. But in that, are there any tips that you have for us? What parenting tips would you give?
Yeah, well, I suppose we'll stop and take stock is always really important. I kind of, at the end of my book, I sort of have some practical steps, I suppose. And that's to just stop and remember your big purpose and your children's big purpose, to honour God and to live well in His creation and to love other people. And then to accept your limitations, to accept that you're not perfect, to accept that you're not in control of your children's world. And just to acknowledge that, and then let that drive you to God, because one thing we haven't talked about yet is knowing God as our Father, and He is the only perfect parent. And we can run to Him like children and receive His forgiveness through Jesus and ask Him for guidance and wisdom, ask Him for strength to face another day. And so I think that's really important part of parenting is to run to God like a child and know that we can't have all the answers and we can't be perfect, but he is, and he's perfect and he's in control. So trusting God, the perfect parent, and then to sit down, I guess, with your husband or wife, ideally, and write down what are our family values? What do we think? What kind of people do we want to raise? And then I guess a last couple of ideas that I raise in the book are the importance of marriage, that ideally children will be raised by both of their biological parents in a fallen world. That doesn't always happen, but that's the ideal that we're striving for. And so actually putting your children second behind your marriage is an important concept, I guess, and just thinking about ways we can work together with our husband or wife with parenting and make sure we're on the same page and get support from one another. And the final piece of advice I would give is to be part of a church. There's a lot of pressure on modern families because we're trying to do it alone. We think it's just me, mum, dad and the kids against the world. But the Bible doesn't see it that way, that every family is part of a bigger community, and that's where we can get support and wisdom and advice from those spiritual grandmas and grandpas and aunties and uncles, and we're not alone. And a lot of people have walked through what we're walking through right now, and if we take the time to sit down and ask that lady at church or, pray with another mum at church, it can just lift the burden and help us to know we're not alone, and we could pick up some really helpful tips, especially from people who've gone before us and survived.
One thing I love about your book, and has really, I think, just stayed in my mind, is this idea that you raise that it's not just parents alone parenting, and that actually single people need to know about parenting too. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, I guess that was the surprise of the New Testament for me when I finally got there. The Old Testament's very much focused on family as the way that God's family grows, that you have to be born into the family of Israel, mostly. But when we come to the New Testament, Jesus says, no, you can become children of God by faith. And Paul says, well, if you have faith, then you're children of Abraham now. And so God's family takes on this huge dimension. You see in Revelation, God's family is made up of people of every tribe and nation. And so I guess Jesus puts family in this much bigger context of the family of God. I just thought about, well, what does that mean for singleness and parenting? And it means that, we've got a big family to be part of. And if you don't have your biological family around, or if they're not Christian, then being part of God's big family is going to be so important. It's where you can be encouraged and supported. And so for single people particularly, I think the family of God is just a wonderful part of life, a place where you can share life with others. And I think a healthy church is one that has all kinds of people in it, all ages and married and single, parents, not parents, grandparents, great-grandparents. And I hope that our churches are places where single people also feel a part of the life of the church, and that, we're all one family together. And that's really great for us too. It's mutually beneficial, I suppose, that as a parent, for me, it's wonderful to know that at our church there's other people apart from me who are going to be positive influences on my kids. They'll have other role models, other people to go and ask about God, or other people to show them. And I think that takes so much pressure off to know that you're not the only ones who have the same desires and hopes for your children, that you share that with your whole family of your church family.
Mm. I was talking to a friend recently just about, her becoming a mother, and how she felt a real kind of sadness towards some friendships that she'd had amongst the church who were still just young married couples and hadn't had children. Mm. And she said, there just feels like there's been this break, that I've entered this new kind of era, and they haven't come with me.
Mm.
So what do you think, like what advice would you give to those kind of situations? Because it does, I think what she was explaining is very real for many of us.
Mm, I think it's quite a natural thing. And because the things that might have been important in your life are not so important, the things you talked about might not be so relevant anymore. So it is a real problem. I guess, yeah, I suppose it's a bit of negotiation as always. It's about communication and talking to your friends and saying, oh, I really value that friendship and I don't want to lose it. How can we make this work? And a little bit of negotiating. Perhaps we need to be a bit more adventurous and invite people over, even if the house is messy or the kids aren't fed, or and perhaps they also might need to overcome some feelings of awkwardness of being around kids, or perhaps whatever barriers they have. It's probably a bit of negotiation to find a way that we can actually make those relationships work. But I suppose, I guess maybe you could talk to your friends and say, look, we really value you in our lives, but we also really value you for who you might be in our children's lives, and asking people. I guess I'm an Anglican, and so we come from a tradition of baptizing our children and giving them godparents. And for us, that was a really nice moment to think about who we would love to be role models and supports in our children's lives apart from us. And so I guess it's that kind of godparent role, whether or not you're actually godparents, but, you know, asking them. And I hope that they would be honoured to take that role, but it might just be a case of having a conversation really about how we can make this work in our new stage of life. And it may not look the same as it did before, but perhaps, you know, you can come up with a middle ground of having picnics instead of dinner parties or something that's more kid friendly. Yeah.
And really changing the way that we view parenting, as it not being something, do you think, in isolation, but as you've been saying, the whole church, and it becoming a bit more communal in the way that we do it, so that we can be gaining wisdom and having other people build into our children's lives instead of it all being just us.
Mm, yeah, I think that would be a blessing to all of us.
So how can people, first of all, find you online, hear more about what you're up to?
Yeah, I have a website, which is fairly basic, but it's got the information that you need. It's www.harrietconner.com, and it's got some articles I've written, some reviews of the book, information about the book and about me. So you can head there to find out some more information.
And where can they grab a copy of your
book? So you can buy my book from The Wandering Bookseller. He's got an online store and he offers free postage, which is great. And if you Google Big Picture Parents, Harriet Conner, it'll come up with all the other options for buying the book. There's quite a few different places you can get hold of it. Some of the major Christian booksellers in Australia have it. So, yeah, if you just Google Big Picture Parents, Harriet Conner, you'll come up with the options. But The Wandering Bookseller is a great place to start.
And you've also, it's available in ebook as well, is it?
Yes, yeah. Amazon's got a Kindle version and Kurong also stocks an ebook.
Now, the final question that I always ask people who come on is, how have you sort of been pursuing God yourself lately? Is there anything that you've been finding encouraging? What does your relationship with God look like?
Well, as a mum of three, it doesn't look like what it looked like before I became a mother. I do find it really hard to find quiet time and then to have the self-control to use that quiet time to sit still and pray and read the Bible. So I guess, yeah, I make the most of our family time when we read the Bible together and pray together. We pursue God together as a family at that time. I try to sit down and read the Bible, or if I, you know, if that's not working well for me, I pick up a Christian book and read a little bit. School holidays at the moment, so there's basically children around all the time. So it can be difficult to find that quiet time. But yeah, I guess I need to work better on that one at the moment. But yeah, just always, I guess, through the process of reading the Bible and writing the book, I've really tried to apply the Bible to everyday life. And I think as parents often, especially if we're at home alone with the little ones, it's our faith becomes much more day to day. Our faith becomes trying to stay patient at the most difficult moment of the day and trying to persevere with that teaching or that discipline. And I guess becoming a parent has really helped my faith to become super practical and not theoretical. So I guess there's a lot of seeking God in the moments and seeking to honour him just moment by moment throughout the day, and shooting up those quick help me Lord prayers when I need to. Yeah, so I guess that's an honest reflection of my devotional life at the moment. I find it quite difficult to have a quiet time as such, but it's something I'm still striving towards.
And has there been anything that you've, you know, anything that you've been finding encouraging, like music, books, anything like that?
Actually we've been listening to the newest Colin Buchanan album, and usually he sneaks in a little song towards the end which is slow and reflective and really hits home. And actually it ties into what I was just saying, because there's a song at the end of the album called, I don't know if this is the title, but it says, "Early in the morning Jesus rose to pray." And then towards the end it invites you, you know, will you do what Jesus did, and will you talk to your Father early every day? And that's been really just in the back of my mind at the moment, just that question, will you talk to your Father? Will you talk to him today and bring everything to him? Even Jesus had to do that. So why don't you? And that's been quite convicting, I suppose.
It's great. Colin's great like that, isn't he? On another album there's a song that Press On Mums. And I was driving, I don't know if you've heard that one, but I was driving along with our kids and I'd been having a hard morning, and all of a sudden that song came on and I just am in tears as I'm driving and the kids are going like, what is going on? And I'm like, you know, this song is just so ministering. So kids' music, particularly Colin, he knows how to really communicate.
He does.
Well, to the kids and us.
Yep, so definitely. Go Colin.
Thanks so much, Harriet, for being on the show today. Thanks for giving up your time.
That's okay.
And, I'm praying that you'll be blessed as this book gets out there and that people will be blessed through it, because it is such an encouragement. It's a book that I wish I had when I started parenting, and I'm really glad that I have now. To just step back and see the big picture of parenting and that God has a plan and a purpose for us in it. So thank you.
Well, thanks for having me, and thanks so much for your encouragement.
You have been listening to the Pursuits of God podcast. For information about our episodes and for detailed show notes, please go to pursuitsofgod.com/podcast.